From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted, really delighted to welcome back to my show, Laura Michelle Kelly. Great to see you.
It's so lovely to see you, John. It's like seeing an old friend.
I must just say, very quickly, congratulations, because I understand you just got married.
I did. His name's Sean, and he's in Seattle, and I just moved there, and we met when I was on tour with The King and I. The production that Bartlettshire brought to London, it was on tour around America before it came here, and that's how I met him. I was there 6 days, and the first moment I met him, we were inseparable.
Were you?
Yeah.
I love that movie, Sleepless in Seattle. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. I could never have imagined ending up there in Seattle. But I have to say, it's made me fall in love with the grey weather. It's called the Emerald City. And coming back here, I appreciate the weather so much more. It's very similar to Seattle.
Laura, this takes me back to the first time I came to London to interview you, which was at the Aldwych when you were in Whistle Down the Wind.
20 years ago.
Yes.
I can't believe it.
And I've told you this before. I came on the Underground, and on the Underground was your face everywhere. I came up out of the Underground and your face was on a bus.
I know.
And I thought, my God, she's made it.
Isn't that crazy that was a real beginning for me? People always wondered, you know, who's this girl? And they didn't realize, you know, it was that I was only 17 and this is my first ever break.
The reason you're back in Great Britain is you've got a show at the Cadogan Hall, which is London, on February 24th.
I do. I'm so excited. It's my first time back in England, even for the last 8 years. I was in a play, Second Mrs. Tanqueray, at the Rose, not too long ago, but that was brief. But other than that, this is the first time I've been back in a very long time. So I'm excited.
And you're going to sing and dance, or what are you going to do?
I'm singing a lot, not dancing. I often don't want to dance unless I can really help it. I'm doing favourite songs from different shows that I've been part of, and songs that have changed my life or connected to a story or two.
Wonderful. And of course, it's early start, 6:30.
It is, so anyone from the Isle of Wight can come up and make
yes,
it.
Yes, we've just worked that one out, haven't we?
Yes. Yeah, it's an 80 minute long set, so we have 40 minutes of songs, 10 minutes break, and then 40 minutes of more songs. So it is a big deal for one woman show to be that long. So I'm excited. We're going to go on a journey.
You've got a couple of really clever guys producing it, I think, haven't you?
I do, yeah. We have a producer who also did Dear Evan Hansen from in America and here. And we have a couple of great people. They've done really great artists at Cadogan Hall. Through Club 11, but also through, you know, relationships that have been grown over a while. They'd had a very successful time with Shoshana Bean, and, you know, it's kind of grown from there. They're just doing Cheetah Rivera this weekend, and big names, you know. So I'm honoured that they asked me to join them.
So, living in America then?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate when Cameron offered me Mary Poppins on Broadway, finally. Getting over there to do that was the beginning of the rest of my life. There was just opportunities that just popped up one after the other, and doors just opened, and I never quite made it back. Not that I minded. I would love to come back and work here again, and excited that they're opening Mary Poppins back up
yes.
over here. So you never know in the future. Maybe they'll be interested in having me back in that.
So who are the family are in America then?
Well, my dad moved and married the most amazing woman. 15 years they've been married. That was totally unexpected. After our mum passed away, he met the second love of his life. And so he was in Louisiana. And my two brothers moved over. One met his wife. And, of course, I moved around the same time. So we've been living in New Orleans for the last few years.
Because Nathaniel obviously played Oliver in the West End, didn't he?
He did. Yeah, he's having a great life. He works for a church over there. He's a youth pastor.
Is he?
Yeah.
And what about Joram? Because he was sort of flirting with the business in a way, wasn't he, early
on? They both are really great musicians. And Joram and Nathaniel, they still write songs. And Joram specifically wants to get into the music industry as well. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Finding Neverland, that was a recent production you did. That was on Broadway?
Yeah. Finding Neverland was an original show we started in Boston, Cambridge, Boston. And we did four different versions of it. It was written by Elliot Kennedy and Gary Barlow. And it still hasn't made it over here yet. I hope it does. Everyone really loves the music and the story's really great. You know, it leaves people really moved. I think it would do really well here.
Would you consider, if it was offered, would you consider?
Of course I would. I wouldn't want anyone else to do it but me. I really enjoyed the process, and I know that there's more to come out of that role, that I could do more with it. You know, I'm not done yet with that one.
Because you've done lots of shows. You did Fiddler on Broadway, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Yeah, that was my first show I did in America. And then I came back to do Mary Poppins when it first started over here. Yeah.
Is there a lot of difference, Laura, between sort of working on Broadway and working in the West End? Is it a lot different or not really?
I think they are very different. But really, what the issue with audiences is, the difference is the demographic of how many children are in the audience, or how many tourists who can't understand the language. And that's, you know, the languages in America and London are very similar. You have lots of tourists and you have, you know, different types of response based on the demographic of how many British people are in the audience or how many Americans. Because Americans tend to be more responsive and English people save it for the end. They're very polite. That's probably the biggest difference. But with concert work, the audience is different too, because, you know, you have a different crowd and people are taught in concerts to make more noise. So I'm expected a loud crowd on Sunday.
I want to go back to the Isle of Wight just for a little while, sort of memories, because the first time I ever saw you was probably in A Christmas Carol in Notre Dame.
That was my beginning.
Yes. Yeah. What memories of the island still in your mind these days, really?
Well, when you say the Isle of Wight, I always think of my upbringing on a farm, biking up and down that long road where all of my family, my mum's side of the family, lived. They're very special memories living there. So being around nature always reminds me of home, especially as you get older. I think you reminisce a lot more as you get older, and I find who I am when I'm near water, having moved from the farm to the beachside. And I think of beautiful memories like that, but also I think of Barbara Walters, who taught me to sing. She really changed my life, and because of her, I was able to get the big break that I ever did in Beauty and the Beast, because she trained me to get those top notes.
You've been an inspiration to so many young people, because no drama school, nothing like that. I love the story of you just queued up, didn't you, outside a theatre.
I do like that I get to say it's not impossible to kids who probably think it is, or get told, you know, you have to have XYZ in the bank in order to afford stage school. I hope that I can be an example to kids who maybe feel that they live too far away. How can that dream ever happen? Or, you know, in the middle of nowhere, or haven't got the money for school, or don't know where to begin. Because I hope that would encourage kids to start anywhere and go for it and show up. And you never know what happens, you know. My experience has always been on stage, but that's also because of the great people who helped us in theatre when I was really young. You know, who put all the shows on, David Redston and Tony. You know, the team that put on all of our shows, you know, they built the stage, they wrote the sets, they wrote the scores, they did all the rehearsing. They're like, hours and hours they poured into us. And because of them, my life is what it is. I was given the head start.
We talked about Whistle Down the Wind. What do you think was your real big breakthrough?
There's been many, hasn't there?
Yeah, there has.
So doing my first musical, it was Viva, and it was Magic of the Musicals, and singing, "Oh, it's horrible being in love when you're 8 and a half," to my brother. And, you know, the fact that I said, "Can I be in it?" after seeing Nathaniel play Tiny Tim, and it went from there, really. So I would say, and, you know, funnily enough, I saw Cameron McIntosh just yesterday. We'd literally bumped into each other, and... isn't that a crazy thing that happened?
It is, yeah.
And I got to thank him for my second big break, because the first one was, you know, trusting me with Eponine, then My Fair Lady, then Mary Poppins. But the second big break, I would say, was after a couple of years off, I was thinking about quitting the business. It's hard sometimes, you know, and I didn't know what else I'd do. And he asked me out of the blue to play Mary Poppins in New York. And I didn't want to do that because I was really scared of doing that. The idea of recreating something that I'd done really well, I didn't want to spoil that. I didn't want to ruin, you know, what if they don't think I'm so good now? You know, it was 5 years later, and I knew that that job nearly killed me. It was so hard.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I went to do it, I realized I was a bit older, but I was so much wiser. And I paced myself, and I knew how to eat properly and healthily. And it was such a ball. I stayed as long as I could, 18 months.
Of course, you won an Olivier for the show in Britain, didn't you?
I did.
I always remember we came down to Bristol to see the show one day, quite a few from the island, and something broke, I think, and you couldn't put the show on. So,
oh, no.
That was,
did I come and see you outside?
Yes. There was a mechanical problem, I know. When coaches used to come up from the Isle of Wight to your shows, you'd come out and see them off on the coach.
I always tried to. I would, and I do that now. Like, I know how far you come, and it means a lot to me. And it means more to me, you know, doing a one-woman show. They're not showing up to see me in a character or everyone else in it. They're coming, they've really shown support of me by doing that. And that always means so much. I can't even put into words how grateful I am when people have flown or traveled all of the states to come and see me in a show. That's an amazing thing. It's a gift when people do that.
You did My Fair Lady in England, in London, where we are today, and the Queen came, didn't she?
She did, yeah. It was a really magical moment. We were running across the stage at the end of the performance. The audience had caught wind that she was watching because it wasn't an official visit. We had to try and beat the crowd, and Anthony Andrews yelled, "Don't forget, it's Your Royal Highness to him and Your Majesty to her." And I was like, "What? It's Your Royal Highness and it's Your Majesty to her." And I was like, "Okay." And I was so relieved I got Your Majesty right that I said hiya to her husband, like, very inappropriately.
And of course, in the States, you went to the White House, didn't you, President Obama?
Yeah, twice.
Did you meet him?
I did, yeah. He's a lovely man. And I got my picture with him, and my godmother is not an Obama supporter, so she hides that photo behind the TV. But yeah, I met the Obamas a few times. Michelle Obama invited me to do, as part of a gala, Eliza and My Fair Lady at Kennedy Center after that. Obama was supposed to be there, but there was some bomb went off somewhere, and he had to go and do it. But we had a wonderful time. The second time was in the White House, was Finding Neverland. We were there to represent the show and performed inside the White House, which was really special. It was a live performance of our show, our songs.
Did you do a selfie with them or not?
Yeah, not a selfie.
No.
No, apparently you're not allowed to post any pictures of you and him or them anywhere. People do, but you're not supposed to. But I do have a photo of me with them. Yeah, it was a really great. And, you know, funnily enough, the first time I met him, Dick Van Dyke was also in the line.
Was
he? He was singing Step in Time because we were representing Mary Poppins at the time. It was pretty cool.
Heidi, hi!
Howdy, ho!
Hello, listeners. You are listening to John Hannam Meets.
Currently, I'm at the Electric Airwave Studio in London with the lovely Laura Michelle Kelly. I want to talk about the Storm Inside, which surprised a lot of people because it was a brilliant album, and you'd written a lot of the songs, hadn't you?
I had written more songs than made it to the album. They weren't quite ready yet. So we ended up with just three of my own songs on there, but we covered a lot of things like Keane, Somewhere Only We Know, which I heard someone else copying my version.
Did you?
But I couldn't judge them for doing that because I copied Keane's song, so I forgave them. No, it's, you know, I wish I could get hold of the orchestrations from that because I would love to do that, all those songs with a 60-piece orchestra. That would be amazing.
Sweeney Todd was a sort of a taster for you as a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was going to open all those film doors, you know, but it didn't. But it was a great privilege to be part of. And I did get asked to do some horror movies after doing that, which I turned down. Maybe I should have done that, because my character in Sweeney Todd was pretty ugly.
Now, Matthew Bond from the Sunday Mail, right?
Yeah.
You did another movie. He said, Kelly sings beautifully and has the good fortune to look as good on the big screen as she does on the West End stage. She lights up every scene she appears in, which is most of them.
Oh, you know, that wait, was a, who was that?
That was a guy called Matthew Bond in the Sunday Mail. That was
That's
for the Goddess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Matthew Bond.
Because I've got the movie. I brought the cover up to show you today for you to sign it. But I enjoyed that movie.
You know, I never felt it made it over here. It came out in Australia, but I never really got to celebrate it being out in England. And so I often don't imagine people having seen it because it was an Australian-based movie. And I never really had a big release over here, so... Thank you for watching it.
Your character was a bit of a sensation on the internet, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before, just I think as, you know, cameras in computers were happening, it wasn't quite the thing yet. So that was quite fun.
Ronan Keating, of course, was in it, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was a lovely guy to act with. He was very respectful. Good actor.
Do you know what he said about you?
What did he say?
Go on, I'll tell you. Laura Michelle Kelly is one of the best singers I've ever worked with. She has a brilliant and stunning voice. Did you know?
No, I didn't know that. Did you interview him?
No, but that was a quote that he gave.
That's
you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been really lucky to the people I've got to work with.
Have you sort of exceeded your wildest dreams? Because when you were queuing up for Beauty and the Beast... What was your sort of real dream at that stage? What did you hope to achieve?
You know, all I hoped to achieve was to do a really fun show. And I think I'm still exactly the same. I just really want to do something really exciting and really fun. I don't think anything will ever beat my first ever show that I was part of. Even though I was Marie the Baguette's Hurry Up. I wasn't, you know, the lead. But I just, everything about Beauty and the Beast just... nothing will beat that excitement of watching that. I didn't even know what it looked like having auditioned for it. I hadn't even seen it yet. And when they gave me a free ticket, I was amazed. And when they took me backstage, I was amazed. I was like just in awe of what all these people were doing on a much bigger scale than what I was used to. And I think on the other hand, I was a bit cocky and I thought I could cope with anything. I thought I knew everything. I was a bit precocious, I think. I'm certainly not that way anymore. I am humbled by how little I know sometimes, or yet to still learn. And that's a good thing. I think it keeps you growing, keeps you wanting to do something new. But now my only stipulation is whatever I do, it's got to be exciting.
Is there one thing you'd like to do? Or
I'd like to do more movies or more TV. I think that might open doors for me in the future. You know, I see Judi Dench and Helen Mirren as examples to follow, that perhaps my greater days could be in ahead of me rather than behind me. And I am going to always celebrate, though, the 20s and my 30s in a way that I know that I was really lucky to have had all the opportunities I've had. I've also experienced a lot of hard graft in times of feeling alone and the journey. I do like to talk about that because I think some people look at a resume or a CV and they think, oh, look how, you know, favoured she was. She's never had to have a hard time. But the job and the life of an actor, you have really, really high highs and you have really, really low lows. And you have to ride the wave. You have to, because otherwise you quit. You have to just trust that there's something else around the corner. Stay true to yourself. And even if you're not in work, to be the light to someone is everything. You just got to keep being a light, because that's really what acting is, I think. It's drawing a focus on something positive, even if you're in a show where you have to play someone who's depressed. You're showing people that they're not alone. You're showing that they are normal. They have a voice too. It's like you're speaking for the voiceless. And that's so, you know, it's important for me to keep doing what I'm doing, because I know that there's too many people out there that need representing in the world and need to know that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
You mentioned Judi Dench. She sent you a message once when
did
you
she?
Were in the show. Yeah.
What did she say? You probably have a better memory than I do.
No, when you were in My Fair Lady, I think she sent a message round to you.
She probably did. You just reminded me. Well, the only thing I remembered about her is when the first time I met her, I was like, being really embarrassing and kind of falling over my tongue and not making any sense. And someone pulled me away because I was just in awe. Felt like I had to be highly interesting and it didn't turn out right.
Are you starstruck by people still or not really?
Not really. Like, I made friends with Sean Penn at a party randomly when we were doing the gala for My Fair Lady. He was there talking about humanitarian things also at the time in Washington, D.C., and he invited me to sing at his place with his colleague who's like a jazz musician, and we were just going to all sing around the fire, and turned out he invited all his famous friends, and I had no idea how big a deal it was going to be, and there was a lot of big names there, and I thought, how interesting that I'm in this room. I don't know what it's about. I try to treat people as peers and equals without having a big head, you know, just talk to people like that, because if they're famous, they just want to be normal, like treated like normal, not feel like a, you know, an idol. They want to just be themselves, usually.
I know you've had one or two sad moments in your life, and you're a strong Christian. That's obviously helped you considerably, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, it has. Yeah. I think, you know, everyone has a different thing they go to when life's tough. I honestly don't know where I would be without having that belief that you know, we all have a destiny and a purpose, and it's for good and it's not for harm, even if at the time it's things are going bad, that there's a hope and a future, and that something beautiful can come out of something terrible. That all comes from my faith. And really, when I turned 17 and I did something called an alpha course, which was for a chance for a bunch of strangers to sit in a room and talk about why they think they're here. And the Christian guy in the room would say, well, this is why I think we're here. And he'd floor us all with his answer. And I just kept going back every Wednesday to find out more. And it turned into my faith. It turned into a beginning of my conversations with God, which are mine. You know, people have very different experiences of religion, but I never really had an experience of religion in that way. I've experienced it with people, religious people, but my relationship, I would always call it a relationship with God, not a religion for me. It's like a conversation. And I think that's why, you know, if it's true, no one can take that from you, thankfully.
Tell us about the new show, a bit more about the new show then.
The new show filled with all my favourite songs, really. Well, not all of them, because it would be all night. But a lot of great songs. Two friends of mine, Savannah Stevens and Kirsty Malpass, are going to join me for a couple of songs.
Are they?
Yeah, songs I haven't done before too, so I have to start working on them soon because the show's in like 2.5 weeks. And so two really fun songs. I would hope people would leave feeling like it was a positive experience, because that's always what I want to bring. And I'll probably do a lot more of these concerts. I wouldn't mind coming down to the Isle of Wight to do a concert.
That sounds really good.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind. It'd be a lot of fun.
Be a lot of people there too, I'll
tell you. Do you think they'd come?
Certainly they would. I'm sure a few are going to come up to London to see you on the 24th of February.
Maybe the band I bring here can be my band on the Isle of Wight.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's remarkable, really. I mean, I'm an Isle of Wight person, and just to see you come through, and there's something about the Isle of Wight, when our people do well, everybody sort of celebrates, which is nice.
Well, that
isn't
is
it?
Nice. I hope so. I hope they don't think that I've, you know, lost touch with my roots, because I haven't. I really love where I came from. I love the nature that we were surrounded with, and I was very, very lucky to have my mother's family all around me growing up, and that definitely had a huge impact on who I was today.
I would like to just thank you personally, because as you know, sadly, my wife died in 2006, but you were around at that time, and your lovely dad,
yeah.
And we had a hug and a prayer, and I've never forgotten that, because that helped me considerably, and I just wanted to publicly thank you for that, really.
John, I know, it's sad when we lose people, but it's a real joy to consider that maybe there's somewhere greater than here that they've gone to be a part of. And it doesn't help sometimes when we're left behind, but I'm glad that you let us share with you when that happened. We love you. You're a very lovable person, John.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to blush in a minute. So dream was, we've talked about a dream, but you just want to keep working, don't you, Laura?
I do. Really? Well, first of all, I got married. So being married to the love of my life is amazing. And I want babies. And so we're working on that.
Oh, well.
And being married is a beautiful thing. I've only been a missus for last week and a half. And he's waiting for me back in Seattle. So I'm excited to go back. I'm glad I had this time, though, in London to adjust to, because, you know, 8 years away is a really long time. You forget which side of the road to look first. So you almost get run over.
Yes.
The money, like, everything looks cheap, but then you remember that the money's different here. And, you know, getting to publicize the show before the big day is really fun and it reminds me of where I've come from. And I need that. I've had a lot of great chats with people asking me about my career. It's helping me form what kind of show I want to make. And I just know that when people come, they're going to experience something fun, which is really all I want to do, is bring people fun. Now, John, is it true you're going to be a granddad?
Who told you that? Well,
congratulations.
I think it might be a double granddad because my son and his wife are expecting twin boys.
It's amazing. What a blessing.
Oh, there we go.
Congratulations.
I want to congratulate you on a fantastic career. You've done the Isle of Wight so proud, and we followed your success, you know, with a great buzz, really. And I wish you luck on February the 24th, and I wish your career continued success.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate it. It's been lovely seeing you and lovely talking to you too.
Thank you so much.
And I'm excited to read the book you wrote about us.
You're
all
in there.
I know, the John Hannam interviews. I can't wait. Thank you for giving me that book.
You're reading on the cover.
Yeah.
Thank you, Laura.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannam. That's right.
You've been listening to John Hannam Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.